The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. God, you are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. On you, we set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. We set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. You remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Morning when I arose, yeah,
I didn't have no doubt.
This morning when I arose, yeah,
I didn't have no doubt.
This morning when I arose, yeah,
I didn't have no doubt.
I know the Lord
will take care of me.
I know the Lord
will provide for me.
I know the Lord
no doubt.
Oh, this morning when I rose, yeah,
I didn't have no doubt.
This morning when I rose, yeah,
I didn't have no doubt.
You know the Lord
will take care of me.
Yeah, He will.
Will provide for me. No doubt.
Lord God, we thank you for this another day. We thank you, Heavenly Master, that we wake up, we're in your presence. We thank you, Heavenly Father, when we draw one breath after another, we're in your presence. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just smiling upon us with another portion of your grace, your mercy, your compassion for us. Dear Lord, now that we prepare to go in the service that you deserve, dear Lord, we pray that the words spoken may be the words that you would have us to learn, to know, to hear, and understand. Holy Spirit, have your way. And for these all blessings, we'll give thanks forevermore. In Jesus' name. Good morning to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to see you all on this another Lord's Day Sunday morning. I will be referencing to a scripture that gives me great consolation through the Word of God coming from Romans, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse. And it reads from the King James Version that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of the sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the flesh, of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because through the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it indeed be so. God's word for God's people. As we prepare to go into our communion service, on the night that our Savior was betrayed before going to Calvary, he sat in the upper room with his disciples. And when he had taken the bread and broke the bread, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat together." And in like manner, when he had taken the cup and blessed the cup, saying, "This is the blood in the New Testament. For as often as you drink it, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again." Let us drink together. Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. And ushers, if there are those in the vestibule, you may allow them in at this time, as we have another opportunity to come before the throne of grace in corporate worship, in individual worship, another opportunity to just call on the name of Jesus, to know that your brother and sister that stands around and about you has the same need in this life that you do, that we do. and that is to feel the comforting presence of God in our lives. Right now, we extend this invitation that you may indeed come forth, or either just stand where you are and speak to the Lord for yourselves. Only you can speak for yourself. I can pray for you. I can intercede for you. But you yourself, take the opportunity to talk to him for yourself. And the thing is, you don't have to utter a word. You simply know that you're in his presence, that he will hear and answer prayer. May not be when you want him to, but his word tells us that he would never leave nor forsake us. So that's peace and comfort, that whatever it is, you don't have to deal with it by yourself. But simply take the opportunity to humble yourself in his presence. We fight him tooth and nail when we are humbling ourselves, but we get to the point where you can't do it in and of your own strength. Your resources run out. Your friends are few. Your loved ones, they love you, but they can't do it for you. Jesus is the only answer. When your body is racked with pain and sickness, Jesus is the one that will come to you and visit you on the sick bed. And he will visit you morning, noon, and night. And even if the healing seems slow in coming around, just know that he is right there. There's no pain that we have ever endured that he has not already felt. And he has overcome them, and he has given us his spirit. So right now, Lord, we set aside that which works against, with telling us how unworthy we are. Lord, we have your spirit right now, and it tells us that there's no condemnation to those who walk in the spirit. Lord, we pray for the sick, the shut in, those that are helpless in sin, blinded in sin, who walk in darkness. We pray for them, Lord, that they would be shown the light of your truth. And there is freedom, there is liberation in letting you have full control. Lord, we pray for those that are in troubled homes. We pray for our leaders, our governments, our rulers, that they, dear Lord, would be humble to seek your counsel. Nothing is given to them, Lord, that you have not already allowed. Even the king has a king. So right now, Lord, we acknowledge your sovereignty in our lives. And with nothing else, we have hope, dear Lord. And we have the portion of faith that you have given us. And we are set right in position, dear Lord, for you to mature us and to nurture us and to make us more into your image. Oh Lord, continue to forgive us when we falter and fall short. But thank you for being a kind and merciful Lord, that you don't hold these against us. And Lord, just keep us mindful that you and you alone are God and you are worthy. We don't have to find a whole lot of words to speak to you, but search us, dear Lord. And if there be anything that's contrary within us, dear Lord, remove it. Cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be revisited. And Lord, for what you're doing right now and what you will continue to do tomorrow. And if tomorrow does not come for some of us, dear Lord, we're on our way to meeting you, dear Lord, to seeing you face to face. And we do, Lord, we pray that we have been stewards of the grace and mercy, compassion, and the provisions that you have provided for us. And that, Lord, you will say, you can enter into the kingdom, thy good and faithful servant. These and all blessings we give thanks for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Master, he's a savior.
Master, Savior, Jesus,
like the fragrance after a rain. Say his name, y'all. Jesus.
Jesus.
Let all heaven and earth
proclaim.
Yeah. All this gonna be gone, y'all. Kings and kingdom. They're gonna all pass away. Yeah.
Shall all.
But there's something
away,
about that name.
But there's something.
Yeah.
About that name.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone knows this song. And we coming to magnify the Lord, right? Because there's something about that name. So everyone should be on their feet. We come to enlarge our praise. When you say magnify, it means enlarge our praise. Yeah.
I came to magnify the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Lift Jesus higher.
Lift Jesus higher.
Lift him higher.
Lift Jesus higher. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord.
I come to magnify.
I came to magnify the Lord. Praise his holy name. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. I just came to magnify.
Yeah.
I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord. For he is worthy. Worthy of all my praise.
Isn't he worthy?
Worthy of all my praise.
For he
worthy. all my praise. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord.
For he is worthy.
For he is worthy.
Worthy of all I praise.
Worthy of all my praise.
For he is worthy.
Worthy.
Worthy of all I praise.
Worthy of all my praise.
For he is
worthy.
Worthy of all I praise.
Worthy of all my praise.
Never will a rock.
Never will a rock.
Never will a rock in my place.
He's worthy of all my praise. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord.
All right, come on now. Yeah. All right. Never will a rock cry out in my praise.
Never will a rock cry out in my praise.
Yeah. He's worthy of all my praise.
Never will a rock cry out in my praise. He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my praise.
He's worthy.
He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place.
Yeah.
He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. Never, 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 never. Never, 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 never. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah. A rock can't cry out for me. Because it can't cry.
Hallelujah.
But God has blessed me to praise him. So never will a rock cry out in my place.
Never.
That means sin still saying nothing. That's what that means when you say a rock cry out in your place. It can't. So as long as God gives you the gift to give him glory, do that. All right? Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Behind every dark cloud.
Yeah.
Sing the song.
There's a silver lining.
Yeah.
After rainstorm. There's a bright new sky.
All right now.
When troubles grieve you.
Deceive
you. Oh, don't worry, they will pass over. Triumph,
yes.
Pour your
How many of you know that joy comes in the morning? Sometimes you have to cry through it.
Thank you.
See, there's nothing wrong. But sometimes, when you think about the goodness, it'll bring tears to your eyes when you recognize how undeserving you are. Of all the things that he's done for you, it can bring tears to your eyes. And when you truly recognize that if it had not been, he's just worthy. He's just worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Oh, if you know something about that, why don't you just say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to sit at your feet, Lord. We ask that you teach us what it is that you will have for us on this day, and we will give you all the praise, glory, and the honor. It is in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, that we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, I don't know. I was trying to keep my composure. And apparently that didn't work real well. Okay. Yeah, every now and then, as my sister said earlier, the rocks ain't gonna cry out for me. No, not as long as I have voice. Isn't that right, Ann? That's right. All right, thank you to everyone who has participated in our worship experience so far. We so appreciate everything that you do in this, the House of Living Stone. Now, my brothers and sisters, I need you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not going to mention any names, but there is this one verse we're going to get to, and I know she's going to shout. Ephesians chapter 2. You there?
Yes.
Is that everybody?
Yes.
Was that a huh? Oh, okay, you good? Okay, good. All right. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible. And I'm going to begin at verse 1 and we will read through verse 5. And it says, "Once you were under God's curse, doomed forever for your sins. You went along with the crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, who is at work right now in the hearts of those who are against the Lord or the disobedient. All of us used to be just as they are. Our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions and our evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out bad. Being born with evil natures and were under God's anger just like everyone else. And here we go, y'all. But God. But God, who is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again, meaning made us alive again when he raised Christ from the dead, only by his undeserved favor. Let's be clear, y'all. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved. Now that right there is the word of God for the people of God, and we can go home. I'm gonna give the benediction. That's the word. We can go now. What else do we need to know? So because, unfortunately, we're not going to let you go at this point. And if we had to give a title to our brief conversation, it would simply be one of my favorite phrases, don't get it twisted. This passage of scripture paints a sobering picture of the human condition, dead in trespasses and sin, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, surely working in us as sons and daughters of disobedience, living for ourselves and our own desires, not knowing that we were children of wrath, who while in this state, certainly deserved God's wrath. What we see is the difference between human destitution and divine abundance. God is not only merciful, he is rich in mercy. In other words, he is overwhelmingly generous. We don't deserve it, but he continues to give it. How great is our God? God is merciful to even the worst offenders, sinners, and lawbreakers. Even though he knew and knows our guilt, he doesn't always issue the punishment deserved. Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The Hebrew and Greek words for this term is translated kindness, loving kindness, goodness, favor, compassion, and pity. And even though mercy and grace seem to be similar, we understand that grace is the dispensation or disbursement of undeserved favor, and mercy is the withholding of judgment, not receiving what we really deserve. We find examples of his mercy to Israel in captivity in Psalms 106, and it says, and he remembered his covenant for their sake and relented, meaning rescinding their sentence according to the greatness of his loving kindness when they cried out to him. And in Matthew 18, in the New Testament, our example of mercy is therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. When he began the accounting, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But because he could not repay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything he possessed, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released and forgave him, canceling the debt. You see, we owed God a debt we could never, ever repay. And he has freely forgiven us that debt in Christ. God's mercy is rooted in love for his children. He is merciful because he is love. As sinners, we deserve punishment. God's righteousness requires punishment for sin, or he wouldn't be holy. Now, since God does love us, which is more than a sentimental love, he gave his son for us. And his son, Jesus, was brutally beaten and killed on our behalf. Jesus received our just punishment, and we received God's mercy. Jesus gave his life for us and became the sacrificial lamb so that God's mercy could be extended to us, which secured our salvation. Salvation, the new covenant, and the promises of God all have qualities that include mercy. God's willingness to protect, provide, and sustain his people is only by and through his gracious mercy. Mercy is such a dominant concept within salvation that the heirs of salvation are called vessels of mercy. When you really think about it, that is the ultimate act of God's mercy. Mercy trumps judgment. You see, his mercy is shown in his goodness. The Bible tells us the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. His mercy is shown in that he is above all and sovereign. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. His mercy is shown in deliverance. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, hallelujah, and has transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Okay, so that ain't enough. That ain't enough for you. I get it. I get it. That's just not enough to be excited about. I get it. Were it not for the promises of and provisions made for deliverance from our enemies throughout the Word of God, were it not for the hope that we would see deliverance in the land of the living, were it not for the confident knowledge that evildoers will be cut off, we would be in constant fear. See, that's why fear is sin. God promised us the victory. We are told that He will fight for us. And then you need to hang your hat on the fact that Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And lo, I am with you always until the end of the world. Now, honestly, we're going to be real today, right? Yeah, we real most of the time, but we're going to be real, real today. I have to admit, shared with them earlier, God's mercy, just me, is mind-blowing. See, when you know what you've done, what you've said, and we ain't got to go back years. Yesterday, it's mind-boggling. It just blows my mind. Knowing that He rightly does not have to be merciful to now one of us. Now we must tell you that even though mercy is enormous, it is limited. It will either end in repentance or it'll be stored up for eternal punishment. This, my brothers and sisters, is why we are being called out of mercy into obedience. Check this out. God's mercy is serving its purpose, shielding us until we have knowledge. And now that we have knowledge, it's time for obedience. Yeah, y'all ain't believing what I'm saying. Nah, no, you're not. 1 Peter 4 says, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first among God's own children. And even if we who are Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed in the Lord? If the righteous are barely saved, what chance will the godless have? Yeah, y'all still ain't hearing me. James 4 puts it this way. Remember, too, that knowing what is right to do and then not doing it is sin. So that everybody else is doing it, why can't I? That ain't how it works anymore. I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is no longer, something that you can say. Because as they used to say back in the day, when you know better. And then the Bible also says that He ain't always gonna be fooling with us. Okay. Y'all still kind of going in. So listen to this one. As we remember that God's mercy has been extended to us, we are to extend mercy and be merciful to others. Yeah, you ain't off the hook yet. If it were not for God's mercy, it could be us needing someone to be merciful. In other words, if the shoe was on the other foot, yeah. Jude says it this way, that we are to strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others, take pity, but with fear. Yeah, y'all ain't quite getting that either. Turn to Matthew 18. Now, we'd mentioned this earlier about the king that forgave the slave the debt. Yeah, we're going to look at... Yeah, here we go. Here we go, Minister Wilson. Here we go. All right, Matthew 18. We're going to start at verse 28. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. And it says, but that same attendant or slave, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii or about $20. And he caught him by the throat. He caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. Man, is that convenient amnesia or what? So his fellow attendant fell down and begged him earnestly, give me time and I will pay you all. It was like it fell on deaf ears. But he was unwilling and went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. How you gonna put somebody in prison and then expect them to pay the debt? Okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking it and it just kind of came out. I was thinking it earlier and it came out then too. So when his fellow attendants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and they went and told everything that had taken place to their master. Then his master called him and said to him, you contemptible and wicked attendant. Now I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you what begged me to. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you? And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers. Yeah, locked him up. Just like, till he should pay all that he owed. But here we go. So also, my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you. If you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. Y'all got questions? Anybody got any questions? Anybody any questions? We need to read it again. Should we go? We need to read it again? Are we clean? No, we sure? Any questions? Anybody got no? Y'all sure? Y'all sure? Mercy is benevolent or compassionate treatment of someone suffering or in need. Mercy is an attitude that should move us to act on behalf of the unfortunate. We are to be merciful just as our Father is and has been merciful to us. On a divine level, mercy is the foundation of forgiveness by God pardoning our sin. He remains faithful to his promises and covenant despite our unworthiness and faithlessness. So, here we are, once more and again. What if God decided not to extend us mercy? What if we quite frankly got what we deserved? Show of hands, would there be any one of us here today? Today, simply, my brothers and sisters, don't take God's mercy for granted. Always, always remember his word spoken in Exodus. It says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. We deserve nothing from God. Everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. Let's be clear. He doesn't owe us a thing. Nothing, nada, no thing. And especially, he doesn't owe us his mercy. So that's all I got for you today, my brothers and sisters. So what we gonna tell somebody? What you hear today, the word they told you, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it messed up. All right, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for you continuing to remind us simply of all that you do for us. I think a lot of times, Lord, we forget. We do. We take it for granted that things are as well as they are, or we make it from point A to point B, and we just don't understand the things that have been put in place for us that allows us to do that. So we thank you, Lord, that you are merciful, that you have not given us what we deserve for the things that we have done. We thank you for that. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's someone here who has not given their life to Christ, you can do so right where you sit. Just ask and say to the Lord that I believe Jesus died and God raised him from the dead on the third day, and then ask the Holy Spirit to come in and guide you in your life and welcome to the body of Christ, just like that. Now, if the Holy Spirit is moving you to join this fellowship, there are cards in the pews in front of where you are sitting that you can complete. And when you fill those out, you can put them in the boxes out in the foyer. And there will be members of the membership intake team who will contact you. And we will be so excited to have you grow in Christ with us. So now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Let every saint of God give him a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.